As goes Israel, so goes the world, and so goes the people of faith. I believe that opened the door. That was a cosmic opening of the door for Jews to come into faith.
This is Faith Roots Radio. Christianity was birthed in Jerusalem, and it will be fulfilled in Jerusalem when Yeshua, Jesus, returns. Faith Roots Radio brings you conversation that helps the church understand the Hebraic roots of the Christian faith. Faith Roots Radio is sponsored by Good News for Israel, the oldest evangelical outreach to the Jews in North America. Now let's join Chris Hebe and today's conversation.
God made a covenant with the Jewish people. He does not break His covenant. The church, according to Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, followers of Jesus have been grafted on to the people of Israel. And true Israelite believers and true Gentile believers have been made one. But the New Testament is very clear. God has not abandoned His purpose for the Jewish people. And I believe what we are seeing in our day is nothing short of a miracle. And that is not only the return of the Jewish people to the land, but also the greatest revival of faith among Jewish people since Pentecost. More Jewish people have come to faith in Jesus Christ since 1967 than quite possibly in the rest of human history combined. We are living in a remarkable day, and I'd like to talk about that in more detail, but we'll hold that for another time, okay?
Well, shalom, friends. Chris Hebe, Good News for Israel and Faith Roots Radio. We're into our fourth part with Pastor Chris Dodge, who's a prominent conservative Lutheran pastor here in Minneapolis or Bloomington, Minnesota, St. Michael's Lutheran Church. He's been telling us some great stories and teachings that he's been a part of, and God revealing things to him through visions and other people speaking into his life. And we left off last week where he had just been in a horrific bike accident where the other person, a woman, died shortly after this bike accident. And God speaking to you through circumstances, through even a type of an audible voice, I think you had mentioned, Pastor. Well, I'm here waiting at the edge of my seat. Please continue.
Well, thanks so much, Chris. I think one of the things that has just become so evident to me from both the scripture and experience, and especially the two coming in concert with one another. God speaks to us through His Word. He also teaches us through the experiences of life, the joyful ones, but as we discussed last week, He often shouts at us through the most difficult times. When you go through those times of trial and loss and sorrow, and I don't mean to compare what I went through to what the family of the victim went through. When you go through those times, there is nowhere to turn except to the Lord. And what I see in His Word is also what I've experienced in my life, and that is when we turn to Him, He is as good as His Word. He is near to us. You know, it says, for instance, in the Psalms, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. God says He is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He is the Almighty Creator, but He is also near to His children, and His desire is to draw us to Himself, to bless us with His healing and His presence and His strength in even the most difficult times of life. And if there is one thing that I have seen so powerfully, both personally and in the lives of many others here at St. Michael's over the last few years, is the incredible way that God ministers to us in our pain, and just how much He yearns for us to be brought back to Him. One of the things that has especially hit me as I look through the scriptures, and frankly over the last 3 years, Chris, the Holy Spirit has laid on me, not with an audible voice or anything like that, but this overwhelming sense, you need to be in my word like you have never been in my word before. And you need to let it wash over you, Chris, so that it simply becomes part of who you are. what has happened as a result of that is I have been studying the scriptures like never before. I've always been a Bible reader and a Bible student, but these last 3 years have been transformational for me. In 2010, I read through the Old and New Testament 4 times, and I did not think that was even humanly possible. Last year, 2011, I read through the Old and New Testaments 7 times. This year, I just finished my 6th time through the Old and New Testament and have begun reading it for the 7th time. And if all goes according to plan, I will complete it 7 times this year. That means 18 times in 3 years. I'll tell you, you cannot be in the Word that much without it having a tremendous impact on you. And I have just been so overwhelmed at the things I've known all along that become so clear and are so obvious, because when you're reading through it quickly like that, you begin to see in ways, at least that I hadn't seen before, how all of those pieces tie together so incredibly powerfully and how desperately God is calling people back to Himself. You know, it is no accident that Jesus began His ministry by saying, "Repent. The kingdom of God is here," in effect, is what He was saying. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus' coming by saying, "Repent." And the Bible ends on that note. Something I had not noticed until just a few weeks ago as I was reading the book of Revelation for the umpteenth time this year, all of a sudden that word repent just jumped out at me. And I started circling it every time I read it in that book. Do you realize that in the book of Revelation, the word repent occurs 12 times? In the entire Bible, the word repent is used 39 times. So almost a third of the times that word appears in Scripture, it appears in the last book of the Bible, calling people back to God because the days are short, the Lord Jesus is returning, we need to be ready for His coming. And it is a call to repentance for the people of God. So often we think, repent, that's for unbelievers, it's for atheists. You read the scriptures and repentance is especially for believers, and God's calling His people back to Him. One of the things that I have seen so vividly over these last years is just how desperately God wants His children to come back to Him. And I guess that was particularly brought to me by an incident that occurred, it's been a little over a year ago. A friend of mine, whom I've known for over 20 years, came up to me and said, "Chris, my mother-in-law is dying. She was raised as a Christian as a kid, but she abandoned the faith as a teenager and she never came back." He said, "When she dies, we would like someone to at least present the gospel of Jesus to her friends. Would you do that?" And I said, I'd be willing to do that, but could I talk to her first? His response was, "Well, she has been totally unresponsive for days, and you can go see her if you want, but she is not responding at all." And so I said, "Well, I would be happy to share the message of Jesus when she dies, but let's see if God will provide an opportunity for me to talk to her." It was a little over a week later. I was in my office. It was a Thursday, and Thursdays are sacred. In my office, at least, because Thursday is when I try to finish up my sermon for the weekend. And I like to have a day to reflect on it on my day off, and then I can tweak it on Saturday, and I'm ready for Saturday and Sunday services. As a result, I don't take phone calls on Thursday. My secretary guards my calendar. But on this particular Thursday, in the late morning, all of a sudden, I had this overwhelming sense, "Chris, you need to go see your friend's mom. I have learned the last few years, I will not ignore those promptings." And so I drove over to the other side of Bloomington, the east side of Bloomington, went to the hospice where this lady was being cared for, knocked at the door, they let me in, I explained who I was and whom I wanted to see. They led me down the hallway, I went into her room, and here was this lady lying unresponsive on her bed. I knelt down beside her and started speaking. I said, "My name is Pastor Chris Dodge. Your son-in-law asked me to come and speak to you." And all of a sudden, this lady who had been unresponsive for weeks now sat upright and opened her eyes. I said, "May I share something with you from God?" She grabbed my arm, pulled me toward her, and said, "Please, Well, at that point, I knew what I was supposed to say. I said something like this: God says he wants you back. And no matter what you have done, he loves you, and Jesus died for you. And if you repent and call on him, he will save you forever. I then said something like, do you wish to receive him as your Savior? And she said, please. So we prayed together. I blessed her, said the Lord's Prayer with her. She lies back down, closes her eyes. I leave the hospice, go out to my car that's parked alongside the street, sit down in the car, and begin weeping. Because there is no way you can orchestrate that or invent that. It was just so obviously, if I may say, a God thing. I was absolutely overwhelmed. I shared with my friend what had taken place. He too, just overwhelmed. She died a day later, never regained consciousness. I look at that and I think that is a living example of how desperately God desires that his children, his lost children, come back to him. And as a result, I did speak at her funeral. In fact, even though she was not a member of St. Michael's, we had her funeral here, and many of her friends came. And we were able to tell that story and tell about the grace of our God, who loves us so much that even in the last moments of our lives, he comes looking for us and he calls us to himself. And when I think of the incredible pain of mind, of spirit, the physical pain that people deal with, to know that God is intimately involved in our lives and desperately concerned about us, that is what the world needs to hear and what people are dying to hear. And that's the gospel of Jesus, and it's life-changing.
I super love what you're saying. I'm reading a book right now, The Seven Most Dangerous Things in History. And the first one is, of course, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I would have put the virgin birth, or you know what I mean, God coming in the flesh, but I never looked at it that way. But it is the most dangerous concept in the world because it changes everything.
It does, because it means that the Almighty God who created everything is not distant. He does not keep us at arm's length. He is near to us, and he yearns for us to come to him. So many people think of God as the malevolent judge who's just waiting to come down on us, or the friendly old grandpa who just says, oh, well, boys and girls will be boys and girls, and that's the way it goes. But instead, he is the awesome creator who is also love personified and is reaching out to his children and calling them back to himself because he wants what's best for us. He's not trying to mess with us. He's not trying to ruin our lives. He is trying to give us genuine life, and he showed that by sending his son Jesus, by putting him on the cross, by raising him from the grave, and by promising he's coming back.
Pastor, I love your preaching. I wish your congregation was a lot closer to me. You were talking about the book of Revelation, which happens to be one of my favorite books. And I have this scripture going through my head on a semi-regular basis. In Revelation chapter 4, second half of verse 8, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And you just talked about that God is prepared to come. He's going to come physically, but he's come physically and spiritually, and we can cry out to him, whether you're in your car or at home in the basement or in a closet or whatever it happens to be, you can cry out unto the Lord right now, and he's going to meet you wherever you're at. You're in jail, you're in prison, wherever. You should be grateful to God. He gave you an opportunity to slow your life down enough. I'm convinced God puts people in the hospital so that they can actually hear him. He gives them a divine timeout. What do you think about that, Pastor?
I think that is exactly right, Chris. He so loves us and he so cares for us that he will leave no stone unturned, or maybe I should say no stone unrolled,
yes,
to call us back to himself.
Pastor, you were talking last week about you went through that horrific bike accident where that young lady or middle-aged lady died. Can you talk a little bit about how God met you in that pain and how it's changed your life?
It has had a huge impact on me. There's no denying that, Chris. initially, it was just an overwhelming sense of grief and sorrow. I don't know any way to express it beyond that. It coming face to face with that kind of tragedy does mark you. And I had mentioned to you one time, I was mugged many years ago and came close to death at that point. That had a huge impact on me. I have been at the bedside of many people who have been dying. I've seen many tragic things that just break my heart. One of the great things about being a pastor is I get to be with people in some of the most joy-filled and wonderful times of their lives. But I also get to be with people in some of the toughest and most difficult times. And as I talk to hundreds of people, I see individuals who are going through deep pain, who are dealing with issues that are just eating away at their souls, individuals who have suffered loss that we cannot even comprehend unless we've walked in those shoes. But one thing that I see in God's word and one thing that I've experienced in my life is that no matter how deep the sorrow, no matter how great the difficulty, God is near and he is there ready to receive us to himself. And that brings such incredible peace, even to those who are in some of the most difficult and tortured and painful times of life.
Pastor, what do you feel holds people back from surrendering to the Lord?
I think many times what holds us back is fear. Fear that he isn't going to respond. Fear that this might change my life. And the kind of fear that comes from the enemy. Because Jesus said that the devil has been a murderer and a liar from the beginning. And when he lies, he speaks his native language. I have seen spiritual war up close and personal in a variety of ways over the last 30 years. It is obvious how the devil tries to basically play with our mind. And what God is doing is he is calling out to us in his truth. And he's saying, let my truth bring healing into your life. Chris, I saw that as a kid in one of the people who had a greater influence on me than any other, and that was my grandfather. My grandfather was one of the most brilliant people I've ever known. He only went through 8 years of education, went through eighth grade, but he was self-taught, read Plato, read Herodotus. In fact, there aren't many 5 and 6 year olds who had their grandfather introduce them to Herodotus and to talk to them about Homer. But my grandfather did. Brilliant man. As a kid, my grandfather was taught in a Lutheran school down in Perry County, Missouri, which for a Missouri Synod Lutheran, that's like the holy city. That's holy ground. That's where many of our ancestors first settled when they came over from Germany. My grandfather was a sharp kid, and his congregation wanted to send him to the seminary to become a pastor. He lost his mom when he was 8 years old. And what I learned as a kid was that my great-grandfather would not allow him to go to the seminary. What I knew as a kid is that my grandfather was so hostile toward God. He was a loving grandfather. Like I said, he had a huge influence on my life. Spending time in my grandfather's basement where he had his work area and listened to Cardinal baseball and had photographs from the First World War that he had taken, that was like a little piece of heaven for me as a boy. But what I also remember is my grandfather being so angry with God and being so hostile about the Christian faith as he talked with my mom. Now, he never said those things to me, but I can remember him just coming at my mom over and over again and making fun of Christians and Christianity and the Bible. And I always wondered as a kid, how could this man whom I love so dearly and is so gracious and so wonderful, how could he be so angry against God? As a child at home, I remember praying for my grandfather that he would come back to Christ. Our family prayed for that. When I was in seventh grade, my grandfather died of cancer. But just days before his death, Our pastor had gone to visit him in the hospital, and my grandfather was a changed man. The last thing I ever remember him saying was what he spoke to my pastor. He said, after my pastor witnessed him about Jesus, my grandfather said, "I am now in Jesus' arms." Our family was so blessed by that and so thankful. And at that point, I remember as a kid when my grandfather died, kneeling down in my bedroom and thanking God that he had come back to the Lord Jesus. But it was only a few years ago I learned the rest of the story. Chris, I learned that my grandfather, when he graduated from eighth grade after losing his mom at the age of eight, my grandfather was basically sold as an indentured servant to a baker on the other side of the Mississippi River over in Illinois. He got deathly ill that winter, and the family who had taken him in as an indentured servant didn't want him near them or any of their kids. And so they put him in an unlit shed, a shed without a window, in the back part of their lot. My grandfather spent the winter there, having been, in effect, sold as a slave by his own dad, sent out in the back area to die. And I look at that now and I think it is no wonder he was angry with God, because he had father issues, not just with his own dad, but his dad had so abandoned and betrayed him that he could not imagine a heavenly father who cared for him. Chris, I'm convinced there are many people who feel that way right now. People who feel that God has abandoned them, that life has just left them out in the lurch. And what God is saying is, he loves us. He cares for us. What more can he say than to give up his own son for us? And he is near to us all, and he's calling us back to himself. And he is saying to people who are afraid and lonely and despairing, he's saying, come to me, because I will give you rest and forgiveness and new life. He is good. He is a good God, and we do not have to be afraid of him.
Wow, Pastor. This has been one of the most blessed interviews I've ever had the privilege of doing. We've been talking with Pastor Chris Dodge from St. Michael's Lutheran Church in Bloomington, Minnesota. If any of these programs have touched you, please write him, email him. They've super blessed me. He's got a great congregation here in the western suburbs, and we just hope and pray that everything continues to go as the Lord has planned for you, Pastor. You've come through a lot of pain, a lot of turmoil, but you've come out the other side. The Lord's done a great job of making lemonade out of your lemons. It's been quite a privilege for me, to say the least. You've been listening to Faith Roots Radio. I'm Chris Hebe from Good News for Israel. We invite you to check out our website, our websites, faithrootsradio.org, goodnewsforisrael.org. And please check out Pastor Dodge's website. I'm sure he's got some phenomenal teachings, maybe years or decades of teachings and tidbits. Your website would be
www.smlcb.org, St. Michael's Lutheran Church, Bloomington, smlcb.org.
Well, I've had my socks blessed off, Pastor. Thank you so very, very much for the time you've shared with us. You've been on this last month, and next year I'm going to bug you again, because you've been holding out on me. You've got some great stories to tell us. Well, God bless you so much. Thanks for listening. Shalom.
Good News for Israel and Faith Roots Radio would like to thank you for listening today. Every year we sponsor a Hebraic Root Conference in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where for 3 days we talk about the importance of Israel and the church. This conference hosts some of the best Bible teachers from around the country as well as from Israel. We just completed this year's conference, and we want to share these messages with our Faith Roots Radio audience. As our appreciation for your support of this radio program, we are offering the entire conference of 10 CDs free of charge. For more information on how you can get these special conference CDs, check out our website at gnfi.org. That's gnfi.org. Faith Roots Radio is a ministry of Good News for Israel. Thank you for joining us today for Faith Roots Radio. If you would like more information about today's program or would like a full downloadable audio copy, check out our website at faithrootsradio.org. That's faithrootsradio.org. Or you can call us at 855-YES-GNFI. That's 855-937-4634. Faith Roots Radio is sponsored by Good News for Israel, the oldest evangelical outreach in North America. For more information about the Hebraic roots of the faith, join us online where you can find teaching podcasts, articles, and information about the 2012 Hebraic Roots Conference. The Good News for Israel's website is gnfi.org. That's gnfi.org. Faith Roots Radio is a listener-supported ministry. Please remember to pray for this ministry, and any financial support would be greatly appreciated. You can hear Faith Roots Radio at this same time every Sunday here on CSN.